Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome on this Monday morning. Lots of sunshine, warm temperatures all week long. So far, no watches or warnings when it comes to the weather. Of course, we had all those tornado warnings pop up on our phones over the weekend. I know I was up north at the lake near Blaine Lake at Shell Lake with some wicked storms over the weekend. And of course, you're hearing all the stories about the storms that we saw over the weekend in our newscasts. As you heard in the intro, Scott Roblin, our Green Zone sports reporter, is joining me for the next few days as Jamie enjoys his beautiful sunny vacation in Mexico, warm there. Scott, thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun few days. Just got off a few days of vacation myself, nowhere near Mexico temperatures, but you know what? Happy to be back, and definitely a lot going on this week, so it's going to be a fun few days for sure.
Absolutely. So let's get started with that starting lineup. And of course, we have to go back to Friday. The Riders in Ottawa facing the Red Blacks.
Another high kick from Gettman. Sexton will take it at the 10. A little bit of a stumble. Good burst on the far side. And he's got a little bit of room on the sideline. Sexton, one man to beat, and he does. 10 touchdown Riders. Matthew Sexton.
Matthew Sexton with that 101-yard punt return for the touchdown of the Riders. A 27-22 win over Ottawa. Scott, a gutsy win, I would say.
Yeah, definitely one the Riders were in control of for parts of the game, and then other parts seemed to kind of teeter a little bit. But that play by Matthew Sexton, really, if you're looking for a punctuating event of a football game, that was it. And the Riders, when you talk with Corey Mace, he says you just got to find out a way to get a win and go 1-0 each week. And the Riders, although it was not nowhere near a perfect game, they're still able to do that and move on to face Hamilton with another W in the win column.
And you know, if Belton Johnson, I'm pretty sure he was watching that game, the tackle attempt by the punter, Gettman. Not giving kickers a good name there.
Yeah, that's one I looked at and said, I think that one's going to end up on video for both teams and maybe in a few other markets around the CFL, I'm sure.
And, of course, we're following the World Cup today.
Yes, absolutely. Team Canada flying back home today after what was a pretty special few days for both Team Canada and the rest of the country.
It's been amazing. The support we've got from back home, especially the game in Toronto, the two games in Vancouver, I think we all felt, you know, as a team, the love that the country was giving us. It made it feel like a very big moment, and it made us feel like we were, you know, big deals. And I think that's a very important thing when you're playing a sport, you're representing your country, we're defending our country. So I think just thank you. I have so many other words I could use, but thank you to the fans for supporting us in a very good way.
Yeah, it's Richie Larea commenting after Team Canada landing back home in Toronto following their loss in the round of 16. But an incredible few weeks for Team Canada. Went a lot further, I'm sure, than a lot of people expected them to. Trying to inspire a lot of people. And, you know, it's a big moment heading into the rest of this tournament for, you know, we go back to yesterday with Norway and England coming up with huge victories and a couple of huge games today. Portugal, Spain, that game currently underway, and Belgium, USA with a few unique storylines, I would say, Justin.
Well, yeah, and we'll talk about those coming up a bit later on. The Blue Jays, they lose again.
Lucas, and a bouncer to short. Emerson's got it, and that is going to end it. As the Mariners win it easily, 11-0. And a little flare to right center field. The catch made by Robles. That is the game, and that is the series. As the Mariners shut the Blue Jays out for the second game in a row, and they take the series to drop the Blue Jays 6 games below the 500 mark.
Yeah, 6 games below 500 for the Blue Jays. 11-0, as you heard, only one hit in that loss on Saturday and then yesterday. 4-0 loss, and I don't know. We're going to be talking to Mike Wilner later on from the Toronto Star. He covers the team, and me as a fan, I'm just this season is done. But he says, hold on a minute. It's not circling the drain yet. I don't know. We'll ask him about that.
We're getting pretty deep into the season here, Justin. I don't know.
I know. It's going to be. Yeah, we'll ask him about that. And what's going on with Vladdy Guerrero Jr.? Something's got to be bugging him because he's just having an awful year right now. And some big NBA news coming up this week, Scott.
Yeah, a player who's very fond of memories for Toronto Raptors fans coast to coast for what he did during the championship run.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Kawhi Leonard back with the Raptors. I never thought we'd see the day of this happening again. But Kawhi Leonard, the deal hasn't been officially announced. That's expected to come down in the next day or two. The Raptors are going to be having a press conference with a VIP guest. I want to take a few guesses on who that might be after all the speculation surrounding the team. And also Kawhi Leonard has a new agent and going to be working out a pretty big new contract extension with the Raptors as well. But all arrows pointing towards a reunion between Kawhi and Toronto.
That's just wild.
It's insane.
Because remember when we were watching, remember the plane watch? We were watching the plane where he was going to land. Oh, Kawhi is flying here. That means he's going to be signing back with Toronto and then signed with his hometown team. It didn't work out at all. Just some disastrous seasons, I think you could say, because there was so much hype with him. Paul George also joining that team back a few years ago. But yeah, Kawhi Leonard getting up there in age too. So we'll see. He's making $50 million this year. Is the last year of his contract right now, and then he's going to, well, we'll see what he's like.
Even though he's getting older, though, I look at his points per game, and we'll talk about this a bit later, but I look at the points per game he's putting up at his age, fitting into a Raptor system that's already being led by a younger core with Scottie Barnes and RJ Barrett's Emmanuel Quickley throw in there as well. Mm-hmm. It allows you to get rid of a player like Grady Dick. I like the move. I think Toronto is looking at an Eastern Conference that, quite frankly, was pretty soft this year. It is improving with Giannis Antetokounmpo going to Miami Heat, but I like the move for the Raps. We'll see what that final number will be, though, once the contract is signed.
And honorable mention with the starting lineup, Felix Auger-Aliassime moving on to the quarters at Wimbledon, and he's going to be facing a Novak Djokovic in the quarters tomorrow. That is going to be an exciting matchup, and I think he gets it done this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to become to that point of it's kind of now or never mm-hmm. for Felix. I mean, he's still incredibly young and incredibly talented, and he's gone deep in majors before, but you really do only have so many cracks at it. And you talk about this golden age of tennis where it's really continuing with Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz. There's a lot of players who are even younger than Felix Auger-Aliassime, or at least part of his peer group, that are learning how to get it done and get to these finals. I think this is going to be an absolutely huge match for him to try and finally break through and compete for a major and make a real, real run of things.
As I mentioned, Mike Wilner from the Toronto Star going to be on a bit later on in the show talking about the Toronto Blue Jays and their season. Can they turn it around and make a run? Probably not for the AL East, but to get into that wild card. Lee Cormish, he is right now at the Portugal-Spain match in Texas, so we'll be checking in with him on that. Of course, we talked about Belgium and the U.S. and their controversial game coming up later on. We'll talk about that. And, of course, Canada's World Cup run, their best ever. We'll talk to him about that. And Terry Koshin will be talking more about the Toronto Maple Leafs, all the moves they've made so far this offseason. Of course, a big one, Sergei Bobrovsky signing that massive deal to be the new starting goalie of the Leafs. We'll look back on the development camp that wrapped up over the weekend, see how Gavin McKenna did. By all accounts, he's handling the spotlight pretty good right now. And, of course, our Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray will have more on that big win for the Riders back on Friday in Ottawa. And we're asking you, what impressed you most about the Riders win? You can give us a text, 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to The Green Zone here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome on this Monday. Justin Blackwell and our Green Zone sports reporter, Scott Roblin, filling in for Jamie Nye the next few days as he continues to enjoy his sunny vacation in Mexico, by all accounts. If all his travel plans go according to plan, he'll be back on Thursday, and we were talking about the Riders before the break, Scott, and a win's a win, especially in an 18-game regular season. They're not all going to be pretty. I would say that win Friday was not a pretty win, but a win nonetheless, and I mean, Keyshawn Johnson, was phenomenal in that game too. Over 100 yards receiving and just clicking with Trevor Harris right now.
Well, and especially for a game where Trevor Harris post-game said he didn't feel like he played his best, he was still able to find some of his more well-utilized receivers, and Keyshawn Johnson over the last couple of seasons has really become that guy. Along with Sam Emelis and Kean Schaefer-Baker, who have both had big games so far this year, but Keyshawn Johnson, I think, has found the ability to be a consistent receiving threat when the Riders are looking for a big first down or looking just to get into the red zone or scoring territory. I think having someone on your team that is able to kind of seize the moment like he has, I think is absolutely massive. And it allows players like Dell Duncan Busby, who are a little bit lower down in the lineup and don't see quite as many snaps, they don't get the same amount of attention because guys like Keyshawn Johnson and KSB and Sam Emelis as well are able to get so much of that attention that it leaves open a guy like Dell Duncan Busby, who picked up a big touchdown early for the Riders. The Riders really do have that receiving core that has allowed them to chase down big moments, to step up in big moments, and that led them to a Grey Cup championship last year. And I think Keyshawn Johnson has the ability to really kind of pull the rest of that receiving group along with him.
And you talk about seizing the moment, and we'll see if they can definitely seize the moment Sunday against Hamilton, because, of course, the Tabbies, if you don't know by now, are out. A quarterback, Bo Levi Mitchell, going down yesterday with a gruesome-looking injury.
Jordan Younger calls in the four-man rush, and now Cerez now brings down Bo. Back he goes. And Mitchell grabbing his ankle at the end of the play.
Yeah, and if you see the video, his ankle is not pointed in the right way. And we don't know officially yet what the injury is. It looks like broken ankle, dislocated ankle, whatever you want to call it. Looks like he's done for the rest of the regular season. Again, we don't know for sure, but this might be, again, we're not speculating, but could be the end of an illustrious career that he's had, and it was just tough to watch.
Yeah, it was extremely difficult, especially having a guy who's so well-established in the CFL, has broken so many records, is an all-time quarterback in the league, to be hauled away in an ambulance. And you do have to ask if that's the end of the road for him. I think he has the ability to come back, but boy, at his age and that type of injury, it's going to be a long way back. And if you're Hamilton now it's Trey Ford or Jake Dolicala who's got to lead you the rest of the way. It's tough sledding, and not the only quarterback to get injured in that game as well for a season that had been so friendly to quarterbacks around the league and staying healthy.
Yeah, and you mentioned Trey Ford, of course, a U Sports quarterback back in the day, and then as Zach Claros got hurt, and then Winnipeg brought in their quarterback, also U Sports alumni. So it was nice to see two Canadian quarterbacks dueling.
Yeah, I think I saw since 1968 or 69 that you haven't had two U Sports quarterbacks playing in the same game, or at least attempt a pass in the same game. So a great moment for Canadian football, but definitely not the situation or the scenario you may have wanted for that.
Justin Blackwell and Scott Roblin in for Jamie Nye for the first few days, covering as he enjoys his time away in Mexico. And we'll be talking more about the World Cup, of course, going on right now. Portugal, Spain, still 0-0. About 63 minutes now into that game. And we'll be talking also more about that U.S. and Belgium game coming up. Lee Cormish, our huge super soccer fan, is going to be, he's at the Portugal-Spain game right now, so we'll be talking to him a bit later on in the show. An exciting Green Zone to kick off the week. Much more coming up. Time now for the one-minute drill.
Team Canada, they are back on home soil after a historic run at the World Cup. Canadians landing in Toronto this morning just 2 days after being eliminated in the round of 16 by Morocco. Promise David saying the entire nation got to see how special the sport is and can inspire millions of young kids across Canada. Now there's also some controversy today as FIFA upheld its decision to allow American striker Flo Balogun to play in tonight's round of 16 game against Belgium. He had a red card from the United States round of 32 win over Bosnia, suspended by FIFA, with President Donald Trump asking FIFA to review. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff between United States and Belgium for a spot in the quarters. And like you said, Portugal and Spain currently 0-0. The reeling Jays continue their West Coast road swing tonight to kick off a 3-game series against San Francisco. Toronto shut out in back-to-back games by Seattle over the weekend and outscored 15-0 in those losses. Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight. And two games in the Western Canadian Baseball League as the Saskatoon Berries host Regina, while the struggling Weyburn Beavers take on the Medicine Hat Mavericks. Mavericks.
And speaking of the Toronto Blue Jays, yeah, their disappointing season continues. Is it circling the drain? Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star says it's not. He explains next. I'm Justin Blackwell, in with us Scott Roblin. You are listening to The Green Zone here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Justin Blackwell and our Green Zone sports reporter, Scott Roblin, in for Jamie and I, who's still enjoying a few days in the sunny Mexico. Should be back in the chair on a Thursday. And we've been talking about the Toronto Blue Jays and their weekend series with the Seattle Mariners. And started off good, didn't finish off so good.
1-1, the count on Nathan Lucas. And a bouncer to short. Emerson's got it. And that is going to end it. The Blue Jays get just one hit today as the Mariners win it easily, 11-0.
That was a Saturday's game. No runs scored. No runs scored yesterday in another loss. Six games below 500 now. Still somehow in the mix for a wild card berth. And Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star, in his recent article, says, "You are well within your rights to believe that the Blue Jays season is circling the drain, but it's not." And he joins us now. Mike, thanks for taking our call this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you say the season isn't circling the drain. Convince me otherwise, because I think it's already gone down the drain and fresh out to the sewer.
The three games out of a playoff spot with 70 games to play. That's it, plain and simple.
Okay, fair enough. Is it... You can understand though why people are frustrated given the success they had last season to now, and it just seems that nothing is clicking on a consistent basis.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was the crux of the column that you mentioned, and thank you for mentioning that. Look, they've had a horrible 2 weeks. There's no putting a pretty face on 3-9 in 12 games and getting shut out three times in five games and averaging three runs a game over the last dozen games. But because of, the overwhelming crapitude of the rest of the American League, they're three games out of a playoff spot with 70 games left. They're 2 weeks removed from being a 500 team. And I understand that they're not nearly as good as everyone expected them to be. That last year set the bar, and it should have, and they haven't been able to come anywhere close to that. But, a lot of sports fandom is what's in front of you right now, and that what's going on right now, especially if it's negative, is the only thing that's going to continue happening. Right? I had someone after the Blue Jays lost 7 of 8, after that six-game losing streak, then they won one and lost one. And someone said they've won, they're playing at a 125 pace. So that means they're going to wind up losing 113 games this year. But I didn't have anybody when the Blue Jays won 4 out of 5 to get back to 500 a couple of weeks ago say, okay, so they're going to win 80% of their games the rest of the year. It's way easier to believe the negative, and I don't think that the last 12 games should hold more sway than the first 78 games when the team was just ravaged by injury and still managed to play 500.
And, Mike, here we are, 90 games in. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 4 home runs, 35 RBIs, 266 batting average. Is there something going on that we don't know about health-wise with Vladdy?
I don't think so. I mean, he's been having back issues for, I would say, at least the better part of a month. He's played fewer games this year than he has in any other season. Like, generally, Vlad is good to miss maybe 3 or 4 games a year, and this year he's already missed more than that. So I think it's the back, but I don't think that explains 4 homers in 90 games, right? I think that, he's had periods of time where he just hasn't been able to elevate the ball. He was hitting 370 for a while there, but with no power. It doesn't make any sense other than sometimes guys have bad years. And, you don't expect it from a 27-year-old, in his prime, but sometimes guys have bad years, and he's still got almost 3 months to get out of it.
We're speaking with Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star, talking more about the Toronto Blue Jays and their disappointing season to start. And Scott, you have some questions?
Yeah, Mike, you know, for a team that had so many offensive contributors during the World Series run last year and guys deep into the lineup who could swing the bat or get on base for a big hit, what's been the biggest areas you've seen out of the depth that hasn't shown up this year? And has that been one of the bigger reasons you've seen this team not being able to compete with the top teams in the AL East?
I mean, I think that the issue for a large portion of the season was the injuries, right? You had, for the first 2 months of the year, no Alejandro Kirk, no Addison Barger, and George Springer playing on a broken toe. Didn't help that Vladdy wasn't contributing, but I do think that Vladdy's not contributing early had a lot to do with him trying to bear that load without three significant offensive pieces in the lineup. And Nathan Lucas missed the better part of a month too, and he's been one of the best hitters in the league this year. So I think that had a lot to do with it. I think Bo Bichette not being back is a big piece. I think I said going into the season that the Jays were still a batter too short, even with Okamoto and at the time what we thought was a healthy Barger and Kirk and Springer. You know, it's that team last year that was so relentless and so good. As much as we want to say there were contributions up and down the lineup, and a lot of times there was a different hero every night. But make no mistake, George Springer was by far the best offensive player on that team. Bo Bichette was next. And they're both, for all intents and purposes, gone because Springer's having one of the worst years of his career and Bo Bichette's in New York.
What do you think the Jays need to show in these next six games before the All-Star break? I mean, so much of the MLB season is pre and post breaks. So in these next handful of games, what are going to be the biggest areas you're going to be looking for as they head towards All-Star?
Be nice for them to get some hits.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? They have five hits in their last 23 offensive innings, which is just bonkers. You know, I like what I've seen from the starting pitching. Finally, it's coming around. They got a 3.06 ERA in the last six games. So they've been doing the job, and the back of the bullpen is fine. I think Jeff Hoffman has like 13 consecutive scoreless outings and 19 out of 20 or something. So he's settled in really nicely to a lower leverage role, but still late in games. So the pitching's been fine. They just need a little support offensively. You know, maybe score four runs a game instead of three. Maybe put two runners on in the same inning. I don't think that's happened since Friday night. So, you know, that's what they need to do. They need to get the offense going. And, you know, the offense is definitely not as bad as it showed this weekend. But it's there's no question it's got to be better.
Speaking with Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star, as we talk about the Toronto Blue Jays and their season, you mentioned the pitching, Mike. Any concern with Shane Bieber and his return from the injured list? Because his starts haven't gone, I don't think, according to plan.
Two of them have been terrible. One of them has been fine, even good. I think, you know, you just have to extend him a little grace. There's concern because he's pitched so, gotten lit up twice. And the first time it was giving up three home runs, and the second time it was, you know, seven runs, and then those are both career worsts. But, again, what you have to remember, and I know it's difficult, but you have to remember that these are people that we're talking about. These are human beings, and Shane Bieber has made, I think, 15 starts since – or 16 since the end of the 2023 season. So this is a guy who has been coming back from injury for most of the last 3 years. And as much as we'd love to say, hey, let's go, and you're 100% from the first time you step on the mound, it often doesn't work that way. So Shane Bieber won a Cy Young. He's been an All-Star twice. And even pitching at reduced velocity, he's been able to be really, really good in the past. I don't think there's, you know, as much as people want to jump on he's done, I don't think there's much reason to believe that. But he might need a little bit of a runway, and that's okay.
I was wondering if you can quantify the type of leap you've seen out of Louis Varland this year into becoming a shutdown closer for the team, and the impact of his role going forward for the rest of the season if the Jays are going to become a playoff team.
I mean, he's been a revelation, right? He's everything that they hoped he would be when they traded for him at the deadline last year. This is a guy who was a middling starting pitcher at best, but everybody thought his stuff would play up out of the bullpen. And the Twins occasionally moved him back to the bullpen, but they still couldn't resist trying to use him as a starter. And it really left him, you know, not pitching where he could be at his best, which we've seen now. It feels like with him, people are inclined to believe that the positive is going to keep going. And I don't think he's going to be perfect, which he is right now, 18 out of 18. He's leading the American League in ERA. I don't think he's this good, but I do think he's good. And I think that, you know, if the Blue Jays are going to make their way back to a playoff spot, it has to come with, you know, Hoffman and Rogers and Varland at the back of that bullpen being as close to shutdown as you can be, because it doesn't feel like they're ever going to, you know, have many games where they're just sitting with a big lead and it can be a laugher.
And one last question before I let you go, Mike. Are the Toronto Blue Jays making the playoffs this year?
I think so. I think so. I mean, I think the rest of the league is so bad that there's never, I don't know that there's ever been a year where you could say that a team with 40 wins in its first 90 games has still got a pretty good shot of making the playoffs. But I honestly believe they've got a pretty good shot of making the playoffs. Three games back is nothing going into September, never mind on July 6th, when you've had an underachieving and underperforming team especially. So there's no risk that this team is getting broken up at the deadline. If anything, they're going to add. And I do think that, you know, once you get into the playoffs, having Gausman and Cease and Yesavage at the top, and if Shane Bieber comes around, that is a killer starting rotation for the postseason, and that can take you a very long way. And I would just remind people, like I wrote in that article in the Start today, I know it's July 6th, but last year on May 28th, the Jays were on a terrible road trip, outscored 22-4 over five games. There were no indications at all that anything was going to turn around. And this was the team that had finished in last place the year before. And then they won 9 out of 10 games. These things happen. It can change in a heartbeat. And if anybody says, yeah, they saw that coming last year, they're lying to you. And, you know, three games is nothing to overcome, especially when you're chasing crappy teams.
Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star. Go check out his latest article on why he believes the Blue Jay season is encircling the drain. Mike, thanks so much for this, and we'll chat again soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
So there you have it. He believes the Toronto Blue Jays will be making the playoffs this year. He's a lot more
bullish
positive
on it than you.
He's a little bit more positive than I am. We're going to talk more about the Blue Jays after the break. I'm Justin Blackwell in with Scott Roblin here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back, Justin Blackwell and Scott Roblin in for Jamie Nye. And we were just speaking with Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star about the Toronto Blue Jays and their disappointing season to date. And he mentioned in our talk, Scott, you know, you just have to realize these are people. And, you know, sometimes they have bad seasons. You're making $40 million a season. Not good enough. Like for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., four home runs, 35 RBIs in 90 games. Figure it out, man. Not good enough.
Well, and that's what's going to have to take, I think, if the Jays are going to have a sniff of the playoffs. I don't disagree that being only three games back at this point of the year isn't life or death, but I look at the Jays and how deep into the season we are. That's the point where that draws the most concern for me if they are going to be able to make a push, is we are six games away from the All-Star break. If you're not able to come out of the All-Star break firing, the runway is getting shorter and shorter. And I don't disagree with you that, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on these guys, both internally and externally, if we get out of the All-Star break and the Jays are still in the same position.
And you mentioned, you know, sometimes guys just have bad seasons. Mm. You can have bad games, bad seasons. I don't know. Wayne Gretzky didn't really have a bad season. Sidney Crosby didn't have a bad season. I think you're making $40 million a year. I don't know. These are professional ball players. You should be able to figure it out. You've got hitting coaches, you've got video, you've got this and that, and it just, for me, it doesn't, I don't know, I'm just not buying. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for the Jays, too, is you can't have all of your top guys underperforming at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have someone step up. That is what you're paid the money for, and, you know, it doesn't have to be the same guy every single night. That's where the depth comes into play for this team and the lack of it when it comes to their hitting and in the batting order as well.
Well, we'll see. They start a series tonight against San Francisco, one of the worst teams in the league, so they're going to have to, I think, sweep that to get their season turned around. Time now for the 1 minute drill.
Team Canada back on home soil just 2 days after being eliminated in the round of 16 at the World Cup by Morocco, and the Canadians saying it was a very, very special tournament, getting to see how the sport inspired millions across the country. Now, there's also some controversy today. FIFA upholding their decision to allow American striker Flo Balogun to play tonight against Belgium in the round of 16. Balogun had his red card from the U.S.'s round of 32 win over Bosnia suspended by FIFA. U.S. President Donald Trump asked FIFA to review. We'll see what happens tonight. 6 o'clock kickoff between the States and Belgium. Meanwhile, Portugal, Spain at last check here. A 91st minute goal by Spain has Portugal on the ropes. Toronto Blue Jays, just mentioned them. They continue their West Coast road swing in San Francisco at 7:45. Kevin Gausman with the opening pitch. And the Calgary Flames inking new defenseman Simon Nemec to a 5-year contract worth $7.25 million per season after being acquired in a blockbuster trade with the New Jersey Devils.
We will be taking a short break for the news. When we come back, yeah, it wasn't pretty, but the Riders are back in the win column. Our Green Zone Rider reporter, Brenton Gray, joins us to recap Friday's game in Ottawa. I'm Justin Blackwell, in with Scott Roblin. You are listening to the Green Zone here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.